Good evening, one and all. Yes, it's another Tuesday and another Book and a Chat here on New Visions Radio with me, your host, Barry Eva. Now, yes, Connecticut last week when I spoke to you, 2-3 foot of snow. We still got 2 foot of snow, but not on the roads. It just hasn't cleared from the gardens and that. And we've had sort of sleet and rain and freezing stuff and everything like that. But at least you can move around. And I was telling my guest beforehand, you can move around. Of course, you dig the car out and then the snow plow comes down and plows you back in again. But as he just said, you know, do one thing, repeat, do it again sort of thing. But that's it. But I'm here and so is my guest. Now, this over the last sort of year, definitely, and over the last decade, in a lot of other words, the term to network has become an increasingly important part of our working environment, our social environment, everything we do, from phones to work meetings, to communication with the family, all the sort of, even to shows like this, networking with authors, networking with publishers and stuff like that. But do we use it right, especially when like myself, you know, looking for a job? Do we do the right form of network? Are we using it to its full capacity to help us, or are we sort of getting stuck in these long-winded meetings that actually do nothing and people fall asleep after about 10-15 minutes? Yes, you've all been on those, I know. It's great when you're on a call like that at night and you suddenly somebody starts snoring, which I've had several times running in incident calls overnight. But anyway, we can find out, because my guest today, he's written a great book. Well, he's co-author of a great book, which will help us with that. So I better introduce him, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Nathan A. Perez. Hi, Nathan. How are you doing?
Hello, Barry. I'm doing really well. How's the week going?
Well, last week was a very bad week. I had three funerals, including a friend of mine of over 50 years and an aunt. And so last week was not so good. This week, I thought it had started off bad because I lost my phone. And talking about network, everything's on the phone these days, you know. But as it happened, it had fallen out when I went to see my grandson today, and it had fallen out while I was playing on, you know, playing with him. You lose track when you play with a little, like, 6-month-old sort of thing. Anyway, I am here, and that's the thing, important thing. Got through another week, yeah. As I said, this day and age, the term networking has come to mean so many things across our lives, especially in the case of your book, The 20-Minute Network Meeting, Learn to Network, about job hunting and things like that. What gave you the impetus and the idea to write such a book?
It was actually kind of synchronous. Is that a word?
Yes, it's good enough, yeah.
I'll be making up words. I'm a writer, and I make up words.
There you go.
What happened was, my co-author and I met. I was recruited into a firm at the time, and my co-author knew that I was already a writer. I have a diverse career path of my own, and I was a professional actor and writer at the time. And so she kind of pitched a few different ideas, and one of them was the idea around networking, and we just kind of jumped all over it. The firm that I was in was responsible for recruiting executives, right?
Uh-huh.
So we get hired by other companies to find new executives for their company. And having spent 20 years in the entertainment industry, it was all about networking. So it was just the perfect idea. And the thing is about the topic itself is that we all must do it. And we actually all are doing it, but I figured this was the one to really go for, because it would apply to all of us.
Right. It's interesting because, you know, when, like, quite a few people in my area of IT, you know, we got laid off, the senior people, the people that are sort of pushing the age barriers, shall I say, because obviously if they've been in the company that long, they must be in the top level of the earnings, because, you know, as happens, you get your yearly promotion and stuff like that. It goes on like that. And one of the things we got with the package was a setup, a company, you know, who would help us with our resumes and right. meet regular meetings and networking. Now, while I found the first few of those very interesting, because especially as there was other people from within the company I'd been let go from, and to hear what they had been let go and the fact that it was not just my area, it was across the, you know, quite across the company that had been affected. After the first meeting or two, it was like repetitive, people just saying what they'd done that week and, you know, what the next things they were going to do, and you know, new people and what happened to them.
Right.
Now, yes, there were people who were able to say, okay, I've heard that such and such a company is looking for somebody. You know, have you sort of looked at that? Like you get with Indeed, to be quite honest, or something like that. Indeed mm-hmm. lets you know about these jobs. But I think because in a way there was like 20, 30 people on these meetings, they went on. And people sort of lost track. If you knew there was 13 people to talk before you, your turn to get up, you know, to get up and talk, you're switching off. Yeah. And I think the whole thing of yours about the 20 minute meeting is something that really, you know, would help.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I think when it comes to networking, for the most part, most of us still think that it's got to take an hour, you know,
yeah.
And it doesn't. It when you distill everything down and you really get to the goods of what you need to talk about, it only takes 20 minutes. So that is the fashion. That is the whole purpose of the book. And for the most part, when it comes to networking, the reason people are reluctant on the other side of the networking table, the reason they're reluctant to network is because it's not a really great use of time. People don't use the time very well.
Right.
So that was the purpose of the book, is to construct it in a way that it was just all about being informative, but also being reciprocal. That's a really big component of the book, is making sure that you are also offering help for the help that you are getting.
Right. And I think that's something that I notice with some people, and yeah, other people you wouldn't even know they were on the call. Yeah, there's some people that were willing to give you some information, or say, oh, I know somebody who works at that place. Yeah, if you said, right. Yeah, looking at it, can I, you know, I can give you their name. In other words, helping you with bringing the right people into your network. And I think that was a great thing.
Yes, that is, you know what, that is what networking is really about, is actually obtaining the information. If I were to say, if we were to define networking, first I would say that networking is not about being, you know, slick and smooth and dropping names and being all salesy and all that kind of thing. What it really, really is about gathering information and information exchange. You know, not to confuse the two. Does that make sense? And so what you're doing in a meeting is you're trying to gather information that takes you to the next step of your career path or your job search.
Yeah, and we're willing to exchange information with other people as well. So give and take, basically.
Absolutely. And all the time. But the thing is I said this a little earlier, we're doing that all the time. Every conversation and discussion that we have is information exchange, no matter how intentional we are about it. But in the case of a meeting, what you're hoping to do is just sit down and ask 5 questions. And they're very specifically geared for the people that you're talking to, because you're hoping to kind of gain the unique wisdom or insight that maybe only those people can give you. When it comes to networking with people, it's the shortcut, because, you know, we can read blogs and we can read books and we can read newspaper articles and so forth and so on. But what we're really doing is we're piecemealing together a big picture. But what a shortcut when you can go directly to a person and ask them very specific things about what you want to know. And when you're informed that way, then you can go to the next step and understand where you're going by way of, you know, your own path that you have laid.
One of the things that I noticed was that the people that weren't very good at communicating on the, you know, on the network side, I could imagine they would be equally struggling at an interview. I know people plan, you know, you get these people who say, oh, we'll do a test interview with you and stuff like that. But to be quite honest, I don't think you can plan up to a point. Create a structure of expression, read your professional background. You know, you can do a nice précis, bring it down to a couple of minutes rather than waffling on. But there are Last week, I think I had an interview where the person obviously just read it from a standard form. You know, it was this, this is the job, this is this, and I thought, you are not communicating. You know, you are reading a doc, you're reading a document. And at one point I stopped him and I said, right, I understand what you're saying. I can see how I can improve what you've got by this, 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 and this. So in other words, I threw him right off his piece of paper, and he had to actually answer questions for himself. So I reversed the roles, right, if you like. One of the things you said about the sort of the planning beforehand and the questions, is it that sort of thing that you talk about, you know, restructuring your background and making sure that, you know, you introduce yourself properly and how you communicate within the network or within the interview?
Yeah, so your background is very, very important. But first, I should say it's critically important that you do the research on the people that you're meeting with and their companies.
Yes.
There's no reason to go into a meeting thinking that somebody is able to help you when you actually know nothing about them, right? And part of, especially in the book and the way that we go about this, expressing your professional background in a way that people can understand is super, super important. That's what helps them imagine and understand how or where you fit in an organization. Without that, that's when it becomes, you know, them comparing your resume to the job description and comparing apples to apples. But when you express your professional background in a way that allows them to understand something that they don't already from your resume, then you open up the imagination of the recruiter, the recruiting and the hiring side to go, oh, that's what this means. Oh, that's what that. And now they have a better understanding of where you can kind of be plugged in. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, definitely. Because I think one of the things is if you know about the company, you know, the company's, I'd say it's only been formed 20 years and it's really expanded in those 20 years. Well, it's expanded so rapidly that in a lot of cases, I'm talking IT side, there are bits that are missing. You haven't got an incident management, a problem management. You haven't got the process to go through that. And so you could say, okay, well, you know, look, hearing what you've got, do you have this? How would you go through follow that? And if they don't have it, then you can then say, well, with my experience that I can bring to the table, I can help set that up and help broaden the company to cover that sort of environment. So it really does help to know about the company before you go in, and then use that knowledge to put forward some of your process powers. That they can then say, hey, you know, you're right. You know, even if we keep you for 6 months as a contractor, you can set all this up, and then we can sort of spread it through the company. It's that sort of thing that you can get.
Absolutely. Imagine what an interview or even a networking meeting is going to look like if you are already, when you give your snapshot of your professional background, you're already giving those key pieces of information to them that they would be asking of you. Because usually when we sit down in a meeting, what we're doing is we're trying to explain away what's on that document that we call a resume. And then there's clarifying questions to kind of further understand what's here on the text. But if you read the job description and you already understand kind of what they're looking for, then in your overview of your background, you can already be prepared to put that information right in front of them. Now, instead of taking and using valuable time to explain away the document, now you hit the ground running. You get deeper into a conversation much quicker. And that in and of itself really makes candidates rise head and shoulders above their competition.
Yeah, stop the waffle and get straight down to the nitty gritty of it. You know, this is what
that's what we're there from the first place, right?
Exactly. the one of the things, and I don't know if you came, you know, if you brought this up within your book, is when there are several of you from the same previous company with the same experience going for the same job. It's hard to know whether you help the people networking or you push yourself above the networking. I'm one of the former. I'd rather somebody, if I don't get the job, somebody that I used to work with get the job, sort of thing. Is that a hard thing some people find?
And I think honestly it's more of a mentality than anything, because in the end, the hiring and recruiting side is looking for the real good fit. But it's not just about job skills. It's also your personality. So in the meeting itself, without actually saying so, you're demonstrating quite a few different things: how prepared you are, what your personality is, how comfortable you are, and how that person kind of responds to you. Because while they might hire you for a really great business acumen, in the end, they still look at personality and understand, you know, how is this person going to fit in the group? Is it going to work really well? So putting all those things together, that makes a very, very different candidate. And what you know how to do, even if it's very similar to the people that you've been working with and have similar experience to you, those are the things that really pull everything apart.
When you go into, start off with a networking, have you got sort of any recommendations to, say, for an agenda, you know, to make sure that when you go into these meetings, you, especially with the sort of networking type meetings, that you keep it on track? Because you go, some of these meetings, they go on and they shouldn't, and they sort of wander all over the place. I can remember back in the days when everybody had a file of fax and you had the meetings, how to run a meeting. Take your watch off, sit it on the table in front of you, say, make sure everybody has their 2 minutes and make sure it starts on time and finishes on time, sort of thing. But I guess with Zoom meetings, you're a little bit pushed like that now because you're limited to your time slots. But there are meetings where suddenly somebody's taken it over and you've got half the people left to talk and there's only 5 minutes left. I guess that's down to whoever's running it, you know, and how to run that meeting, or if you're not running it, to sort of interrupt to get it back on track. Is that the best thing to do?
Yes, absolutely. You always want to have an agenda. What your agenda ends up doing is kind of setting your contacts at ease, because they know what to expect and where you want to go with the meeting. And that already is very, very different than most people want to hold a meeting. What a lot of people do is they kind of just throw a lot of information out there, and whatever sticks, we'll have a conversation about that. And hopefully I can kind of get them back around to talking about the stuff I want to talk about. But really, you, with an agenda, you can tell them exactly what you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of a meeting, you know, I'm hoping to ask this in our discussion. And now that person knows what to expect. And so it makes answering the questions that you have to ask them so much easier. So an agenda is really, it's important for any kind of meeting.
Right.
Rather than, you know, going in there that you're supposed to talk about your stuff and then all of a sudden you're just talking about stuff and being social and whatever else. There's a plan to it, you know, an agenda.
Especially this day and age, because you you don't talk to many people. When you get a chance to actually talk to somebody, you lose track of time. That's what I found, though. But it's interesting because I mentioned about Zoom and that. My family in England and I, we every other Sunday, 5 o'clock my time in the morning, because it gets up 10 o'clock theirs. But we have a family quiz. All the family get online. We have a 30-minute, you know, taking turns. So we have the quiz, and then we have like 5 minutes catching up and that. And it's like a meeting. It's planned like a meeting. We have, this is what we're going to do. This is who's running it, et cetera, et cetera. And it, even though it is a family, it is a network to keep us in contact.
You bet. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the thing, right, is that our network, there's a negative connotation that comes with the word network. But our network is actually comprised of the people that we know, and that includes our family and friends. And to your point, you know, when we know specifically what we're talking about, then we get to get right to the goods that's very important to all of us.
What other points do you sort of, what other things do you point out in your 20-minute network meeting book?
You know, we express the importance of it as far as job search and career development. I'm going to, can I mention a statistic?
Of course, please do. Go ahead.
We hear statistics, I know, all the time, but this is a really important one because it actually involves every one of us, everybody who's listening. So between 70 and 80% of all jobs are not actually posted.
Yep.
Okay. They're obtained through the people that we know. 70 to 80% of the jobs are obtained through people that we know. 70 to 80% of jobs are not posted. And what that means is the other 20 to 30% of jobs that are posted are available to anybody who has a device. So if you've ever wondered, you know, I've sent my resume out so many different times, I can't even get an interview, I can't even get a phone call, this is why. and it creates what is called the hidden or the invisible job market. The hidden or the invisible job market, it's a real thing. And how does that work? That works by word of mouth.
Yeah.
And word of mouth is what we're talking about. It's networking. So that's something that we really express, is that if you're hoping to develop your career or even get a new job, more often than not, it's going to come to the people that you know. And we talked about the agenda. That's something that's very, very important. Keeping in mind that it's people that hire people. And we use a lot of technology. We're really well connected. We got Twitter and Facebook and, you know, Instagram.
Yep.
And we have all these different ways to be in touch. But in the end, it's not the tech that hires the people. That's the facilitator. We still have to build the relationships. And it takes people to build the relationships. And I think that is, especially right now, with everything that we're experiencing in this world, and I mean that literally, right, the world, something that we've all been experiencing in this last year, because, you know, we've got fake news and what to believe and all this stuff that's going on. Well, all of us have started to develop this sense of distrust.
Yeah.
And there's going to come a point where we start to really pay attention to how we are talking and listening to each other. And that's the relationship building, and network and relationship building is a cornerstone to networking. So this thing, as far as going forward, especially with the tech that we've got, it's still going to be about the people. And since I'm saying that, I should probably say too, you know, we've been hearing about 5G. It turned on last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard, but they're starting to talk about 6G too.
Oh, they are. 5G
Yes. And it's right now, 5G is 25 times faster than what we've got right now.
Wow.
So if we've all gotten used to using the tech in this last year, you can bet it's going to grow, because the speeds of networking the network itself are going to increase exponentially. So we're going to be on video a lot more.
Yep.
And while that's a great thing and we'll be able to connect, we can never really forget the fact that it's still about the people. The tech is great. It's the facilitator, but it's still about the people.
And that interesting. I think the whole way we work will never be the same again. I mean, I've worked from home for the last 8 years. I work from home, and to be quite honest, when you work from home, you work a lot more hours. You none of this. I've got to leave now because I've got to hit the traffic, or I've finished today. I've got to go home. If you're working from home, you haven't got any of that. If somebody gets called, somebody got called, we got a call, and that we hear it, we get the text through, etc. We then join in. Can I help you? You know, can I take the notes while you run the meeting? Okay, I'll stay with you for the next couple of hours, or, you know, let's keep going on this. Let's get it fixed. Can we reconvene at 6 in the morning to make sure everything's working? There's no thing, the hard thing is to sort of separate your family from your network side. But if you're at home,
it is.
I mean, I can say, okay, I've just got to sort of go for 10 minutes, take the dog out. The way you work, I don't think will ever be the same again.
No. And it's starting right now. We started last year when we had to start using video and all of our tech to do business. But the upside is that it makes an amazing opportunity for networking these days.
Yes.
And it's because, A, the convenience of the tech, but also we're pandemic bored. You're at home. You know, we're not being as social as we've wanted to be. So all of us are feeling this way, and all of us would love to be able to hop on video, even with complete strangers, at our own convenience, at home. So the opportunity to relationship build now is better than it's ever been.
Right, indeed. So the whole aspect of networking and meetings, I really find it very interesting. Especially as I've been going through it for the last few months, I'm not going to bring it up much, because this is a soapbox of mine. The whole ageism part of I mean, most of the rest of the world, you can't ask somebody their date of birth. You can in America still, I think, but it doesn't really matter, because you have to put when you started school or when your school years and stuff like that. And it doesn't take a genius. I did a test. I applied for the job with two different applications, basically the same information, the same write up and everything. One I put my age, one I didn't put my age. And I got an interview for the one that I didn't put my age. ageism is rampant. The whole the way they clear it is, oh, we're just gonna the job's not there anymore. So they bring it back with a slightly different name, and they get cheaper and younger people, sort of thing. Big soapbox thing of mine at the moment. But I'm not gonna.
Well, I have to say it's a big soapbox, and I think a lot of people are on it with you.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I tell everybody. This is what I tell my clients. I'm an executive career coach. I work with folks who, you know, either lose their job or whatever it may be, but they're a little bit older and they're afraid of this ageism thing. But here's something that should never be forgotten. We are all walking databanks of information and experiences.
Exactly.
And older folks, if there's such thing as younger folks who still need to learn what older folks already know, then you are more than qualified. And the trick really is that when you end up talking to people, that you help them understand what breadth and depth of knowledge and experience that you have that can be offered to a younger generation. That's going to pull people together, and it's going to fill that information gap. And then there is no such thing as ageism. Yeah. You just have people working with people.
And that's one of the things
that
I brought
up. Be a fear for anybody.
One of the things I've brought up is, you know, I can bring you not just the experience. I can help you set this up. I can help you. I can lay the groundwork, lay the processes and everything like that. And then, yes, you can get people to take it over. But with my experience, my knowledge, my expertise, I can produce, I can lay the foundations, if you like. Yeah. And I think I think that's a way of looking at it. What you can do, even in like a short, you know, 6 months, a year type environment, what the benefits you can do within that.
That's right. That's right. And the hiring and recruiting side really appreciates that one, because on the hiring and recruiting side, what they're looking for is someone who's going to be able to bring something to the table that's going to help not just the group they're working in, but the organization as a whole. And then when you can understand that someone has a lot more experience than a lot of the folks who are already in the company, that is a value add.
Indeed,
sir. Yeah, they'll look at you very differently.
Well, I've been looking at the clock and it's going too quick. It's gone. It's whizzed past the So what
I'm having fun.
Yeah. What I'm going to do now quickly is hand the show over to you, Nathan, so you can let people know where they can find out more about you and, of course, your book.
Oh, thank you very much. So you can find out about me at my website, NathanAPerez.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. And the books you can find on Amazon. You can get paperback. You can also get it in Kindle, iTunes. And as far as Kindle, if you don't have like an Amazon device, you don't have to have those. If you don't know, you can still download the app to whatever device and see them there. And on the same website I mentioned, NathanAPerez.com, you can also find the audiobook of the very thing that we're talking about now.
Ideal, ideal. Well, Nathan, thank you so much for joining the show today. It's a subject a lot of people can relate to right now, and, you know, going to help now and in the future. So good luck with the book. And if you write another one, perhaps you'll come back and chat to us again.
Very good. Would love to do so. Thanks for having me, Barry.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. My guest today, Nathan A. Perez. And we've been talking about this really interesting book. Say, it's definitely a subject close to my heart and a lot of other people right now. 20-minute networking meeting. To help you land a job in a challenging economy. Certainly is that, isn't it? Anyway, that's it. I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh guest. But until then, as always, I got one thing left to say. Don't forget...